Frosty the Snowman. He's a jolly, happy soul with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away.
So down to the village with the broomstick in his hand,
running here and there all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, stop. For Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, over the hills of snow.
You're listening to ICANN's Thanksgiving special, and I just wanted to thank you all for being here. And I think that having friends like you is something that I'm really grateful for.
I'm thankful for everybody who gave up their time to be here today and spend time with us.
I'm thankful for all of this delicious food on the table.
I'm so thankful for my family and friends and to be here with my best friends, you guys.
Oh,
that's us.
Let's listen to some music celebrating friendship.
But here's the thing. No matter how you get there, the important thing is you go to school. After all, it's the law.
Yep. In all but a handful of countries, school is compulsory.
Smarty Pants, do you know what compulsory means? Compulsory means parents and guardians are required to send their kids to a state-approved school. This could include public, private, trade, or homeschool. But here's a question for you, Smarty Pants. When did going to school become compulsory, or required by law, in the United States? Was it A, in the 1600s, B, in the 1700s, C, in the 1800s, or D, in the 1900s? Dewey, do you know?
Of course I do. The answer is A. The first compulsory education law in the United States was passed in 1642 in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. This law reflected the Puritan belief that education was a moral and social obligation.
Plus, learning things is cool, right, Smarty Pants?
Later, in 1852, Massachusetts passed another compulsory education law that required cities and towns to offer primary school and that parents who didn't send their children to school could...
Could what? Smarty Pants, true or false? Back then, if a parent or guardian didn't send their kids to school, they could lose their parental rights. The answer is true.
But before that, they would usually have to pay a big fine. This law set a model for other states, which began passing their own compulsory attendance laws over the next few decades. By 1918, every state had passed a compulsory attendance law.
What about homeschooling? Does that count?
Of course it counts, as long as homeschools follow the state-approved curriculum. In fact, homeschooling has been in practice since the 17th century, and there was a time most children were taught at home by either a family member or tutor due to a lack of educational infrastructure.
Ah, and by infrastructure you mean an organized school system.
Exactly.
But schools did exist before then, right? Smarty Pants, do you have any idea where the first school is thought to have existed? Is it ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, or ancient China? The answer is
The earliest known formal school was thought to be developed in Egypt's Middle Kingdom around 3000 to 500 BCE under the direction of Kiti, treasurer to Mentuhotep II. Back then, classes were held in open fields.
An open field for a classroom? That sounds pretty fun. Oh, unless it rains. Of course, when I think of a traditional school building, I'm thinking of a largish building made of red bricks. Why are so many traditional schoolhouses designed that way?
Well, brick is a popular building material for school because it's strong and has many practical benefits.
Like what?
Bricks provide good insulation, keeping students warm during the winter and cool in the summer. Brick buildings often require less maintenance. Brick is resistant to the elements, won't catch fire, and is recyclable. And, like I said, bricks are strong and brick buildings are built to last.
Ah, which is why you still see so many red brick schools today.
But while many public schools remain in that traditional red brick style, today there are many more ways to go to school. Did you know there are boat schools in Bangladesh?
You mean instead of a school bus, they take a school boat?
No, I mean the boat is the classroom. They have internet service and electricity and a chalkboard and space for students to sit and learn.
Smarty pants. Why would schools use boats instead of buildings? Is it A, to teach students about water? B, to drop kids off at home after school? Or C, because flooding is a problem?
If you said C, you're right. Since flooding can be a problem in Bangladesh, some schools use boats instead of buildings. But that's not even one of the most unique ones. The River Plate Institute in Buenos Aires, Argentina, is located in the River Plate Stadium, which is also home to a professional soccer team.
Bet I know what they teach in gym class.
Sometimes it's what the school is made of that's special. There's a school in Guatemala made from recycled plastic bottles stuffed with plastic trash and covered with cement.
That is a great use of recycled materials.
And there's a kindergarten school in Karlsruhe, Germany that looks like a very scary animal.
That's interesting. Smarty Pants, what scary animal do you think it is? Is it A, a shark, B, a tiger, or C, a cat?
If you said a cat, you're right.
Meow.
But wait, cats aren't scary.
Meow.
They are if you're a guinea pig. The school looks like a giant cat. The cat's mouth is the door, and the classrooms are in its belly.
Okay, I can see why a rodent wouldn't want to take classes in a cat's belly. Any other cool schools?
Forest schools in Finland are literally outside in nature. But students who go to forest schools still learn the same skills as students in indoor schools. They just practice them in different ways. For example, they use rocks to solve math problems.
Some people count fingers and toes. Some people count rocks. And speaking of counting, how many days do kids typically have to go to school?
That depends on where you live. In the U.S., 180 days is the most common number. While kids in South Korea have one of the longest school years at 220 days.
Whoa.
And a school year isn't always the same length for everyone. In the Netherlands, kids can start school on their fourth birthday, even if their fourth birthday is the last day of school. There's always a new student in the class.
Ooh, and maybe there's always a birthday party, too. With cupcakes for the class.
Nom, 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 nom.
So, that's a school year. What about a school day? Are school days always the same length?
Again, that depends on where you are. In the U.S., a school day is usually between 6 and 7 hours. Some places have shorter school days, like Mexico, where the school day goes from 7 a.m. to noon. And some places have longer school days, like Taiwan, where students can be in classes from 9:30 a.m. until 5 p.m.
I see. But everyone pretty much learns the same kinds of things, right?
Not exactly.
Ooh, we'll learn what kids learn right after this quick break and a word from our sponsors. Now back to Who Smarted. Oh, there's the bell. Is it lunchtime yet?
Nope, just time to switch classes.
Right. Oh, and speaking of classes, do all schools teach the exact same things?
Not exactly. While everyone needs to learn to read, write, and solve math problems, some schools also have classes that are important to their country's culture. For example, students in Armenia learn folk dancing in school because Armenia has over 1,500 folk dances.
That's amazing. What other lessons do schools around the world offer?
In parts of Canada, many lessons are taught in French and English, so students get practice with both languages. And in Australia, students learn surfing skills and water safety.
Hang 10.
Or hang 14 if you're a guinea pig with 14 toes. Several schools in Russia teach beekeeping.
I don't know if I could do that.
Don't worry, they wear protective clothing.
Oh, in that case, sign me up. I think I'd rather learn beekeeping than algebra. But wait, who decides what classes get taught?
For some schools, the State Board of Education determines the curriculum. This is true in California. Or it could be the local school district. But there are national guidelines. For example, there's something called the Common Core State Standards for grades K to 12. These are the things students should know by the end of each grade in key areas like reading, writing, speaking and listening, language, and mathematics. Teachers use the Common Core State Standards as a broad outline to create their own curriculum. And this includes homeschools as well.
Ah, that makes sense.
Today, there's also a lot of focus on STEM education, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Or STEAM, which is STEM plus the letter A for arts.
Oh yeah, you gotta have your arts too.
I agree. Whether it's painting, drawing, crafting, or music, arts education, along with some form of physical education, is very important for enriching young minds and bodies. Oh, and Trusty, did you know some schools even teach podcasting?
That's amazing. Maybe they can work on Who Smarted someday.
Oh, and one last thing. To make sure students are proficient in each school subject, teachers and educators use an invention from 1792 by William Farish, a Cambridge University tutor.
Smarty pants. What did William Farish invent to help determine if students were proficient or knowledgeable of their school subjects? Was it A, tests, B, quizzes, or C, grades? The answer is...
grades. He invented grades.
Hey, Dewey, guess what class I'd be happy to get a B in?
I don't know. Math? History?
Beekeeping. Hey there, teachers, educators, principals, and school librarians. If you want to use Who Smarted Plus as part of your classroom experience so you can play the show ad-free, you can sign up for free at whosmarted.com. Just click Educators at the top of the page to enjoy ad-free listening and bonus content. And homeschool families, we don't want you to be left out of the fun and the smarting. To get a 50% off homeschool discount, you can email us at whosmarted@whosmarted.com. Two big back-to-school shout-outs to Anya in Brookfield, Wisconsin, who loves Who Smarted because it's really funny. And Alex in Killeen, Texas, who loves listening to Who Smarted because they like learning in a fun way. Thanks so much, you two. We're so happy to have you smarting with us. Good luck this school year. This episode, Schools, was written by Sarah Schoolhouse Rock Sweetick and voiced by Kim Did You Study Davis, Sarah Sweetick, and Jerry Colbert. Technical direction and sound design by Josh, head of the class, Han. Our associate producer is Max C+ Kamaski. The theme song is by Brian Study Hall Suarez, with lyrics written and performed by Adam Pizza Day Davis. Who Smarted was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert. This has been an Atomic Entertainment production.
At the Thanksgiving table, we want to have some fun. We want to play some games. We want to learn some things. So I thought for our first thing that we could do is maybe each of us could teach somebody else at the table a tongue twister. Because at ICAM, we love tongue twisters. And earlier this month, it was National Tongue Twister Day. So I figured maybe each of us could teach a tongue twister to the rest of us today. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Perfect. Sounds like a great plan.
All right. I can go first. And I'll teach my tongue twister to Anika. And then we'll see if you can say it too. Are you ready?
Yes.
Tom Turkey is terribly timid for tomorrow's get-together.
Tom Turkey is terribly timid for tomorrow's get-together.
Really,
ooh,
really good.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Would you like to teach somebody else a tongue twister?
Oh, yes. Sarah, okay. I will teach you a tongue twister. 10 tiny turkeys tiptoe toward Father Tom.
This is the one that I wanted to do. I know this one. 10 tiny turkeys tiptoe toward Father Tom. What, was it right?
That was good.
Did I do it?
That was great.
Okay. All right, Alina, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Peter Pilgrim passed the platter of pumpkin pie.
That's a lot of peas.
It is.
Peter Pilgrim passed the platter of pumpkin pie.
Ooh, nice. Ooh.
Okay, I have a little bit of a hard one for you, Stephen.
Uh-oh. All right, let me see what you got.
Giant greedy gobblers grab goodies gluttonously.
That was a tough one. That's a lot of G's right there, too. Okay. Giant greedy gobblers grab goodies gluttonously.
That was fast for me. Wow.
That was really cool. If you at home want to learn some tongue twisters for Thanksgiving, check out iCanRadio.org and you can learn them right there. But now, let's get back to some more music.
Eee.